You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show and Happy New Year.
Thank you for having me back and Happy New Year to all of you.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yes, for new subscribers, we offer 50% off for any of our newsletters for any time frame or letter you specify. And the promo code for that, when you go to the promo code section on the newsletter, when you place an order, is 2022 half off. 2022 half off. And I usually do it this time. I make that disclaimer that I'm a newsletter publisher. I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. Just we publish our reports and our technical analysis on the market.
How would you describe the opening of the stock markets this year?
Well, you know, everybody's watching with bated breath here what's going to happen. And cycles sort of say we should pull back. I'm a little bit more in the bearish camp, but a lot of the stocks that we have in the model hypothetical portfolio in our newsletter, many were doing well here today. You know, there's still a focus on what's hot and what's not hot. And I'm also watching, you know, the proverbial January barometer that Yale Hirsch invented back in the 1970s. You want to see what the first 5 days of the year do as compared to the close in December is perhaps an early warning indicator of the market. That's what he called it. And then, of course, you got to wait for the month as a whole to get a sense, is January up or down compared to December? And that gives you sort of your, what he called the January barometer for the year. So, a lot of time has to pass here before that gets resolved. But generally speaking, you know, you get some profit taking here or after the big run-up last year. And we talked about this before, people locking in profits and deferring the taxes. So that could be part and parcel of what's going on. And the cycles generally say, you know, we're in trouble here for the next two, three months potentially. So we'll see if that pans out. As I warned, with the seasonal patterns coming in December, the market was changing direction a little bit, and we could see, you know, on and off some choppy action here. The ideal scenario, we're not going straight down or anything unless there's more outlier events like that attack we saw in New Orleans over the New Year's Eve where, you know, terrorists came in and killed a lot of people, and there's more of that nonsense coming up, then that could shake the markets as well. Unfortunately, because of the very disoriented and mentally ill administration we have in Washington right now, has been a cause for a lot of these incidents, in my opinion, with all the immigration issues and so forth. But I'm not the only one stating that. That's just sort of common sense. But you know, outlier events like that could pull the rug from under the market or Trump's inauguration a little bit. There's a lot of bad people out there trying to do a lot of bad things, unfortunately. So we've got to keep our fingers crossed and remain hopefully optimistic. But in any event, we're in this cyclical time frame where, you know, I would normally expect, you know, in the most bearish scenario, we'd be choppy or lower until the March. And I don't think that it'll happen that way, but that's sort of the most bearish scenario. The most bullish would be just, you know, occasional shakeups and corrections here in January, February. And, but that's a general statement because there's individual sectors and stocks that are doing well. For example, oil, which I was bullish on, I told you was due for a low in mid-December or so. It's sort of bottomed out here and, some of the oil stocks have been doing better. For example, natural gas has come back a little bit. That's seasonal. Gold is still in a positive period here until at least February or so. We'll see what happens after that. In fact, gold and the dollar are both up today, so that throws out the theory about their inverse relationship, which I've ignored for many, many years anyway. You know, some of the uranium or the energy alternative stocks like Constellation Energy were up big today. BST, another one, for example. You know, these are the companies that are, you know, working on restoring nuclear facilities and creating nuclear power, and those were positive. So, you know, there's stuff happening, and, you know, you can make money if you just know where to look. So I think that could be the situation here, even if we have a market correction, because the overall market was sort of weak today, but you still have some of these individual stocks and sectors doing well. In fact, we're starting to get a little uptick in the very depressed and almost super depressed cannabis stocks start to uptick here a little bit, which really were washed out, as you know, this past year because of the lack of legislation coming out of Congress and the lack of rescheduling of marijuana. Apparently Trump made some comment, and I haven't been able to verify it, that he wasn't totally negative on cannabis or so forth, so I have to clarify that. But we start to see an uptick in some of the U.S.-based cannabis stocks in the index the last couple days, couple trading days here. So they're so deeply oversold. You know, you get this, they call it the January effect on individual stocks, where some stocks get super sold off in December, you know, bounce back in January or February just because they're so oversold, and maybe that would explain maybe a couple of these cannabis stocks upticking besides the Trump comment that I just referred to. But they're starting to uptick here a little bit, deeply oversold, so they're tradable. I mean, you know, stocks that were, you know, $12, $15 or $3, $4 and starting to uptick. So we have a couple of those names on our list, and, you know, we're traders, so, you know, there might be a little more action there, but ultimately you're going to need, you know, the rescheduling, and you're going to need the Banking Act approved and stuff, which has been pending for a long time and hasn't happened. So the thing to keep in mind is some of these smaller U.S.-based cannabis companies, particularly some ones in Florida, are making money, unlike many of the Canadian names, which fell flat on their rear ends, like Canopy Growth and Tilray and so forth. So that's a good sign, even though all the legislation isn't there. You know, there's still customers for cannabis, particularly in the senior group and CBD and all that stuff. So some of these companies are still making money and doing business. So as long as the states have legalize them in those, you know, jurisdictions, we still have some, you know, companies out there doing business. So that industry is not gone. It's just sort of been waffling around waiting for, you know, further legislation and stuff so the companies could expand operation. So that's just throwing that out there, Jim, because it's just something that caught my attention here as a trade here the last couple of days. So, you know, that sort of summarizes it. You know, just got to look for where the action is here, and we just have to pray there's no outlier events or serious attempts to derail Trump's inauguration coming up on the 20th of January. You know, it sounds like an outlandish statement, but there are forces out there that would love to see that not happen, one of which would probably be Justin Trudeau in Canada, who doesn't get along or probably will not get along very well with Trump once he gets in, among others. But we're already hearing that, you know, Zelensky wants to stop the war in Ukraine as soon as Trump gets in, and a lot of things that we had speculated about could happen may happen, and there are those that would prefer that doesn't happen. And if you've got, I guess you call them neocons or just mentally ill people in the currently active Biden administration, they're trying to derail anything positive that Trump may do, for example, sending more money for weapons to Ukraine when they know clearly that's not something Trump would do. So we've got a lot of irresponsible, you know, really criminal type people in our governments, which is unfortunate, and we can't all wait for them to get out of the way. And I don't know if they're still going to be in the background even after Trump gets in, unfortunately. So we have to deal with this access of evil almost that continues to exist in the background in the secret government or the deep state or whatever is out there. And it's really unfortunate. But, you know, the markets have a way of adjusting for that. So we'll see how it all plays out, and hopefully for the best.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, is there concern that if China's economy doesn't pick up, they'll try to take their people's minds off unemployment and poor real estate investments by invading Taiwan?
Well, you know, that's an ongoing question. If they have economic issues, war seems to be an answer for governments for centuries, unfortunately. So we have that risk that if things don't improve over there, you know, they're looking to start a war. I think hopefully with Trump in power here, that'll be less likely to happen. But there is obviously that risk that China could do something stupid. I don't think it's happening now. I think if they're going to do it, it's probably down the road a bit. And the question is, where will the U.S. be, and how many fronts are we going to be fighting if and when that happens? So hopefully, if the Middle East is calmed down and Trump gets rid of Hamas, which he's sort of talking about, and he makes more deals with other Arab countries, like with the Abraham Accords he did in the previous administration, and we get the Ukraine situation settled down, we could focus more on China or North Korea. So, you know, we can't be fighting in all these fronts or talking about confrontations all over the place. I think China would realize that if we are not as focused on those situations and can focus more on China, it might put them off in terms of trying to do any invasion or play around with Taiwan. So we'll see. I'm not a politician. I don't know what negotiating points exist, if any, with regard to Taiwan. It seems almost inevitable that they want to take it over. And, you know, a lot of time can pass, and we've learned with the Chinese that they're very patient. You know, look with Hong Kong. You know, they had at least going on for over 100 years, and they finally took it over. If it took them another 100 years to take over Taiwan, I'm sure that wouldn't hurt their big-picture plans for their country. You know what I mean? They're not itching to do it tomorrow, and if it happens 5, 10, or 20 years from now, they would feel it was a successful move. So time is a long process, and we don't know how it'll all play out. But it seems like sort of inevitable that they want to incorporate them back into the mainland. So we'll see. You know, I have no crystal ball here on it at all, except that you want to be invested in companies like Taiwan Semiconductor that are building plants like here in Phoenix and other places, so we're not dependent on one location or one company in that location to produce needed. Articles. So I hope I'm addressing your question, but some of the China stocks had a bit of a bounce, and that was supposedly because of China was loosening up on their lending and interest rates and on the financial requirements in the country to stimulate business. So I guess if China stocks rally and people are happy and the market is up, they tend to forget about other problems. So we'll see if the China incentives that they started last year are resumed, and whether they, impact some of the shares that we follow.
What's happening on the cryptocurrency front?
Had a nice little bounce here last couple of days, but I'm overall bullish, very positive. I just hope and looking for a technical correction from a trading point of view, a little bit more than what we've seen. I mentioned Bitcoin pulling back to that mid 70s area. It's in the low 90s now. That would be nice. That would give a nice trading entry point if you're not already in. We're holding a very core small position because I don't have a crystal ball here. And though I want to see it, and the charts say it could go down there, it might surprise us and go to $250,000 this year, as some analysts are saying. So I don't want to miss it. But you have to keep in mind the players are big, and of course I'm talking about Bitcoin here in particular, with Larry Fink and BlackRock and all the money that's behind the move, and the fact that Trump has support now, or believe it's support in Bitcoin and crypto, So I think the wind's at the back of everybody. So I think you got to own it, and you got to be patient, and you got to be prepared. There's maybe a little volatility, and maybe dollar cost average. You don't put all your money in at one time at one price and figure that the trend is still up. And so if you buy some at 90,000 and you buy more at 80 and 70 and it eventually goes to 200 or 250 or even 125, you're a happy camper. So I think that's the way to approach it. Of course, I like a lot of the cheaper names out there. I'm not going to mention them all here, but they're in the newsletter that some are trading at a buck or two or 30 cents and other much smaller levels of price levels that you know move around that are tradable. There's a whole bunch of them, about six or seven of them that we like that are under a dollar, you know, that have nice percentage moves. You know, some of them have moved in just in recent weeks 300-400% and then pulled back, you know, some of these lower priced cryptos. So, and these are not fly by night situations. These are solid little crypto ideas that if you believe in crypto are certainly tradable. So I would say bullish overall, but don't put all your eggs in one basket at one time because they do trade around a bit.
What, anything important happening on the geocosmic front?
I haven't seen anything new. I was looking to see if there's anything new on the solar front. Nothing in particular. It's just basically the short-term cycles that you know we follow pretty carefully here. It's just part and parcel of what I do. You know, instead of looking for the seasonal stuff, we have, for example, we had a new moon on December 30th, which is a sort of a point where you can get a little change in the market. And we've got a full moon coming up on January 13th. And I look at these things as I've had for decades, as little points in time that maybe the markets have a little day or two switch of direction or trades. And so those are the real short-term ones that I've been looking at, and we follow. We'll see what the market, does on the 13th of January. If it's overbought or oversold there, that might be a little cycle point to keep pay attention on. We've got, winter solstice behind us, the vernal equinox coming up in March. I mentioned earlier, we've got the January barometer we're watching, and then on February 2nd, you got the old Groundhog Day. Which I don't really care what Punxsutawney Phil does with his shadow or not, but if you look at the charts, you'll see the markets tend to be volatile within a week either side of that February 2nd time frame, which sort of plays into the thinking that you get a little choppiness here in the first quarter. So I always keep an eye on or about that time frame. Just been plotting it for many, many years, and you just see some volatility around that time frame. But nothing in the geocosmic, like solar activity or anything that seems to stand out at the moment. I'm sure when it comes, it'll come as a big surprise, as it did back in that Carrington event back in 1860. You know, if there's some big solar event or some certain activity that impacts the planet, we'll find out about it too late. It's something, you know, it's in God's hands. We have no control over it. But unless you believe, in a polar shift or a continental shift or some super geocosmic events suddenly hitting the planet, I'm not sitting here worrying about that today, but if it happens, it's going to happen.
Mark, thank you so much for the update.
Have a great day, weekend, and talk to you next week. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. You can find us on X at House Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@housestreet.com. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.